From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Stakeholders, we're going to talk about this West Coast trip. Get their perspectives, get their assessment, even grades if we have to go that route, all right? The Knicks win 3 on the road trip. That's kind of where I thought they would do. So I shouldn't be overly mad about winning 3 games despite the opponents. What I didn't think was going to happen was I didn't think we were going to beat the Clippers, but we did beat the Clippers, but then had the game in the bag versus the Lakers and blew it. I should be happy about that, or happy about winning 3 games, but we have 4 on the table, and having 4 on the table, you could have still be ahead in the standings with that 4th spot in the Eastern Conference. A couple of games left, they return home after this trip. Let's talk about it. I was irate after that Phoenix Suns game, all right? I was going ballistic on Chris Paul. I just can't stand all this shit talk he does. I just really can't. I mean, it really baffles my mind that this dude talks all this shit on the court, knowing the refs is going to be there. He's talking all this tough guy shit. If, you know, I'm glad with Taj. Taj Gibson, bravo to you, man. Bravo to you. But let's get the stakeholders on. Let's get everybody on. Av and, of course, Knickerbocker Avenue and Dom. And we'll talk about the remaining games. I don't know what they think, honestly, on the trip. I kind of have an idea what Dom thinks, but still get full assessment. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks, of course, on IG and Twitter. He's been on a fucking roll with the post, man. Just follow him on Instagram and Twitter, man, and Facebook fan page. He's been hot, scorching, man. Av, what's going on, brother? How you doing? And then let's get on Dom, man. What's up, Av? How's everything, man?
What's going on, Steve? Let's bring on Dom. Let's just get this started, because this is good. From here on out, it's pretty much a numbers game, and Dom is the expert on this one.
Cool. Dominic, what's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Good evening, Steven. What's up, Av?
Good evening.
What up?
All right, good evening. I don't know. Knowing you for all these years, man, you know, with the Knicks and how you study them and how you assess them, how would you rate their West Coast trip based on your expectations, man? And then anything else you know, want to go from there? And then
we'll get to that. So overall, the grade I can give them is a B minus. B because, you know, I didn't think they were going to take the Lakers on the Clippers, and they did. The minus comes for, you know, the Denver game, and then, of course, the horrible result in the, you know, with the Laker game. Because we had that game. We definitely had that game. We should be on the 4th seed, undisputedly. We're not. And right now it's going to end up becoming a huge numbers game. Because had they taken, you know, the Lakers, I'm not going to count the Suns and the Nuggets, because both those games were, you know, disastrous in a lot of sense. But the Knicks, on the good side, they're making the playoffs and they're avoiding the play-in. Bad news is, you know, they lost the 4th seed, now they're sitting at 6, which means that they would open, you know, the first round on the road in Milwaukee. A team that we do kind of match up okay with, but, you know, I just don't like those chances. I think we would sit more comfortably at the 4th seed. But then again, you know, it is what it is. If we get past Milwaukee, you know who's waiting on the next round. But, I mean, I'm looking over the schedule to see how the play-ins, how these scenarios would work, because the Knicks have 3 games left. And these 3 games, they're not easy. You know, they're probably among the worst situations that you can possibly ask for as a Knicks fan, hoping to enter your first playoff series in 8 years. And that's saying a lot. But I don't know, man. I don't know what we have to do. I don't know if it's asking too much to ask for the Knicks to win out the season. But it's, you know, I'm starting to think that if we want to get back into that four seed, that's exactly what we would have to do. And we would just have to wish on a little bit of luck, because Atlanta, they're currently sitting at four, and they only have, what, one or two games left. Miami has exactly one game left. Boston is not too far behind, so, you know, they can always creep up a little bit. I don't think they can, but the opposition, San Antonio, they're playing for playoff positioning. Charlotte, you know, they want to host, that play-in tournament against the Celtics. And the Celtics themselves, who knows if they end up resting guys. So I'm seeing a lot of trap situations. I'm seeing a lot of, possible opportunities for the Knicks to get back into the four seed. I just don't know how we can do that. But the road trip 3-3 is passable. Anytime you go into the West Coast and you split the two LA teams, it's a good look. We definitely should have had both of them. I thought that this late game execution and poor turnovers at the end of that Laker game did us in. And because you couldn't ask any more of the defense, and especially when LA is not hitting a bucket for 3-4 minute spurts where they're just barely grazing the rim. The Knicks had it right there, and I'm sorry, but I think that last shot before the end of regulation, it shouldn't have begun for Julius Randle. I would have felt more comfortable being in the hands of RJ Barrett or Reggie Bullock, just because to go with the Randle's hands. So, but that's neither here nor there. We have to look forward. I'm excited. I'm nervous, but I'm excited, and we're going to the playoffs. That's the good news. We haven't clinched a spot yet, but it's pretty much the inevitable.
All right, Don, what's your thoughts, man? The West Coast trip, your assessment grade, so on and so forth. Thoughts on the last two games in L.A.? Fire away.
Again, guys, maybe I'm too wrapped in the numbers. The Knicks still have a great chance of winning the fourth seed. I don't understand people's math. If the Hawks and the Knicks end the season with the same record, and it don't look like it is because Russell Westbrook putting on another show against the Hawks as we speak, but if the Hawks and the Knicks end the season with the same record, the Knicks have the season series. They swept Atlanta. It's no more of that conference winner, division winner. It's strictly by the record. 1-6 is by the best record. So I don't know where people are getting confused with this Hawks and the Knicks. They have the same record right now, but the Knicks have the upper hand because they swept the series. I don't know what the Knicks series is against the Heat, but the Heat have two tough games coming down the stretch. They play the Sixers and the Bucks.
Damn, we're 0-3 against Miami.
Well, let's cancel them. I got a funny feeling it's going to be the Knicks and the Heat in the first round. That being said, I don't know if these guys are going to rest their players like the Sixers and the Bucks. They're just about locked in for, I think, their positioning. Maybe the Bucks will go for the second seed. I don't know. But the West Coast trip, guys, I got to give the Knicks an A-. Because to me, just me, guys, they did what they had to do. All are right. We could have went 4-2. But when you think about it, maybe, possibly, we shouldn't have beat the Clippers. But here's the strange thing, guys. This is why I give the Knicks an A-. Because the Knicks do what the Knicks do. And the Knicks did what the Knicks do. Because they held everybody on that West Coast trip against the Suns under their season average in points per game. Every one of them. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Rockets, and they held them under their scoring average. Grizzlies by 9, Rockets by 12, Lakers by 8, Clippers by 14. So the Knicks did what they do, and they're getting offense, guys. It's not coming, as fast as we'd like to see it, but they're built on defense. And why is it now that the Knicks are a good team, and don't run with this guy, but all you hear all year long is defense wins. defense wins. Defense wins championships. And the Knicks are the best defensive team in the league. They still are, guys, for the 13th show. They still are number one in points against, field goals against, three-pointers against. And again, guys, one more time. They held everybody except the Suns. Even in the losses, guys, they held the opponent under their season average. This is what the Knicks do. Last night, Steve, I will give you credit. That would have turned the tables totally because they would have been 4-2. And there goes my magic number of 5. The Knicks had 5 to get the 4th or the 5th seed. My magic number last show was 5. The Celtics actually helped us out because now it might just be one more game and we're in. And I said, the Hawks are losing right now as we speak. I don't even want to look at the score again. But again, guys, look at this. People talk about injuries and LeBron. And, you know, the Knicks played their whole season without Mitchell Robinson. Burks didn't play last night. Quickly didn't play last night. R.J. Barrett went 2-for-3, 0-for-7 from the point land. And we lost by 2 points. I mean, come on, guys. Again, we didn't expect none of this. Serious. We thought the Knicks would be good. As the season went on, our hopes got higher because they got better. Our expectations got higher because they got better. Are our expectations going across the board right now? I don't know, guys, but I still think it's going to be the Knicks and the Heat in the first round. And that's going to be, well, I hate to say this, Knickerbocker ass sort of took the wind out myself saying they was 0-3 against the Heat this year. And the Heat are playing good ball right now, guys. I got to give credit where credit is due. They are playing good ball. And I don't have a lot of faith in the Hawks, to be honest, guys. I wish the Knicks were 4 and the Hawks were 5 because I think we'd be going to the second round easily. I think we would probably sweep, or they might win one game. And I'm not going by the season series. I'm just going by the Knicks. I think are that much better than them. They're more physical. You put a body on Trae Young, who I'm starting to despise with all the bullshit calls he gets, but that's the NBA nowadays. But I think the Knicks could possibly win out. The Hornets are still missing Bridges, Hayward. So unless Bridges is out of the COVID protocol by Sunday or Saturday, whenever the Knicks play the Hornets, then we'll win that game. I think the Knicks are going to go 3-0, guys. I don't want to go out on a limb. And guess what, guys? The Knicks play the Spurs tomorrow night. The Spurs are coming off a back-to-back. They're playing right now. So can we take advantage of that? I'm hoping. That's all I'm going to say. But the Knicks have a strong possibility, guys, of going out 3-0. And then we go from there, even if they don't, guys. I mean, matter of fact, the way the Celtics are playing right now, they're losing to the Cavs. We might clinch our spot before the night is over. So, and I have never seen a disaster like this. You can say everything you want about the Celtics' injuries and all of that garbage. No. They would have known when to hold them, know when to fold them, all the assets, all the pieces they picked up along the way. I don't want to hear nothing about injuries, guys. They just imploded, and it is what it is. All I know is I won 2 bets. Brian Scalabrine owes me dinner, and Coach Sam Mitchell owes me dinner. That's all I know, guys. I don't care about nothing else. I win. Knicks are in the playoffs. They didn't believe me when I told them. Scal actually owes me because I believe this, guys, and I'm going to stop after this. I told Scal the Knicks would have a better record than the Celtics when this was all said and done. He laughed at me. All right. Who's laughing now? Who's laughing now? So it's over for them. They're going to be in the play-in. The Knicks aren't going to be in the play-in, guys. So we're good. We're good.
Well, we're going to need that top-rated defense versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Did you see them score 87 points in the first half versus the Spurs? I mean, I didn't even think that's even possible. Ab, did you see that? Or Dom, did you see that? The other night,
I thought I was watching the All-Star game again or something like that. Because only in the All-Star game can you get a score like that. I mean, 87 points. Damn.
Yeah,
and you would think that, you know, a team like that would at least, you know, try to play some defense. But no, they were walking up to threes. They were bullying their way into the paint. It was just nasty, nasty. Ugh. But I'm kind of distracted at the moment, considering that I am keeping an eye on the Wizards Hawks game right now, as the Wizards are up 7 with 4:33 remaining, and Dom already touched on it. The Cavs have a 3-point lead at halftime over the Celtics, so far we're sitting pretty. I honestly do feel that we are gonna clinch our playoff spot tonight, and that should just let you know where the Knicks are going to be, because San Antonio's in Brooklyn. They're down 6, and they're playing us tomorrow. So, on that back-to-back, you're playing a tough Brooklyn team versus you're playing another tough defensive team in New York. I don't know, man. I don't see how San Antonio, gets to move anywhere off of that 10 spot in the West. If I were Pop, I'd just rest them from here on out. Just get ready for that play-in game, because that play-in game is going to be vital. You don't want to, considering where they are, it's a win or go home. If they win, they go to the second portion of the play-in. If they don't, they're out. So if I were him, I'd probably just rest everybody. And that should make it more interesting for the Knicks, considering tomorrow they should probably not play heavy minutes, not try to fight for positioning, and just focus on that play-in tournament, because that's pretty much their only go-to. And damn it, now it's only a 2-point game in Washington, in Atlanta. I'm gonna keep my eye on that.
Let me say this real quick. I'm gonna give this trip a B. I was leading B plus. I didn't like how things went down in Denver. I hated things how it went down in the fourth quarter versus Phoenix. And for a team, I'm gonna be a little bit hard on the Knicks on that Phoenix game because the way they were talking, as far as we got Phoenix circled on their schedule, they sure didn't play like it. Now, don't get it twisted. They made up for that versus the Clippers winning that game with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George in the lineup. I thought that was a very impressive road win and how they closed out that game versus the Clippers. So it's almost, I almost looked at it as if they were playing with house money, and I didn't count the Lakers because I was assuming LeBron was coming back for that game. I'm going to be honest, man, they should have beat the Lakers. And this is the reason why they don't get the A for me, because without LeBron in the lineup, I think the Knicks are a better team than that Lakers team. And the Lakers team played like shit, and the Knicks allowed them to stay in the game, especially in the fourth quarter when they could have easily closed it out. That's what really disappointed me. Now, I know I said 3 wins on the trip. I didn't know how we were going to get the 3 wins, but I know Houston had to be in there and Memphis had to be in there to at least get towards that 3. But when you had a fourth game on the table, and despite the circumstances and not getting the defensive rebounding at the end of regulation, I mean, I just don't understand it, because the Knicks have, honestly, rebound-wise, have been getting torched over the last, I say, month and a half on the boards. It may not look like, we've been winning a lot of games, but this is an area of concern because, okay, Noel, we talked about this. Noel has done a great job interior defensively with the blocks, and he contributes with his rebounds, and Randle. And, Taj Gibson has been a warrior. I can't say enough great things for him and what's been asked out of him. But when we need a key rebound to secure the game, I know not a Knicks fans may not like what I'm about to say, but we kind of do need that the Mitchell Robinson factor, because when him and Noel were in the rotation, we owned the boards through and through. But now it's like, a lot of teams, if they go big on this, in particular with the Lakers, with Drummond, with Davis, Montrezl Harrell, there's certain possessions you need to secure the rebound, and the Knicks failed, and that cost them the game. Like, that game should never have went into overtime. This game should have been a four-game win, a four-game trip of wins. Fourth seed would have been on lock. I know I should be happy, but I'm not happy as I should be. And then I think a lot of it is this Laker game. Denver game, shit got away in the first half, never recovered. It is what it is. You have those games in the NBA. Clippers game was probably the most impressive win of the season. Probably, I think. It's up there, right? Because you haven't really beat any of the, you know, teams in the top teams in the East. You did beat Utah one time. You lost to Denver twice. You lost to Phoenix twice. So, you know, as far as resume, you know, how they do in college basketball, like, you beat one of the top teams in the league in the West. So I think that's probably the best win for the Knicks this season. But to come back, you didn't even have to travel, and you played a game without LeBron in there. You have to beat them, and that's how I'm looking at it. Now that doesn't go. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that okay, next three games, Dom, we have a great chance of winning all three, and we should. I think we should. Two out of three. I don't know if that's even acceptable for me the way we've been playing. But you brought up a good point, Dom. Burks and Quigley, they need to come back. Why? Because I want to see our team fully healthy, rotations pretty much in stone going into the playoffs, no matter where we are seated. And that's where I stand right now. I mean, Av, I'm going to go back to you on this. I mean, you know, Frank Ntilikina with the braids and, you know, knocking down threes. I was kind of like, man, where was this at through the Phil Jackson years, you know?
That kind of woke me up a little bit because I started to doze off a little bit, and then I saw, like, hold on, is that Frank Ntilikina? Holy shit. And he was knocking down threes, and he was hustling. I mean, he played good considering that, you know, he gets so many limited minutes. But I do want to retort something to you, Steve. We did beat the two teams in the East. We did beat Milwaukee, and we did blow out Boston early in the season.
I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about Philly. I'm talking about Brooklyn. I'm not talking about.
But
I know the Milwaukee. I'm talking about the
right,
top two
but, teams. But with those two opponents specifically, we've only lost within 10 points of each of them. And
doesn't count, man. Brooklyn, we need wins, man. Don't count. It don't count.
You're right. But that was just. I don't know. I look at a lot of different variables in terms of matchups, because when you're playing a series and it looks like, you know, if we do end up with the four seed in the second round, we're playing Philadelphia in that second round. And you know, they're tough as nails and they're just a litany of problems. But you were mentioning Taj Gibson and the Warrior. I know I've been saying the Knicks are back for a while. But I can actually say this with full certainty. Derrick Rose is back. The effort and the numbers that this man has been putting up throughout that West Coast trip, what he's been able to contribute, he's already just come up as the number two scorer. He kind of like, you know, bumped R.J. Barrett since his decision-making has been questionable, has been very erratic. Derrick Rose has become a focal point in the offense, even with Julius Randle in the lineup. And Derrick, I'm sorry, but I know his contract is up, but he needs to be re-signed. I want to give him at least one more year with the Knicks. And what he's been able to do to propel this team, because in that Clipper game, he was nuts. Last night in L.A. with the Lakers, he was very good. There's not enough good things we can say about this man in the way he's been able to resurge his career and still contribute on a team that's fighting for playoff positioning. He's finally given this team a little bit of hope. I mean, yeah, given what we have wanted him 10 years ago, sure, but what we're getting from him right now, the Derrick Rose that we're getting right now, is still very good. That a lot of teams. You know, a lot of veteran point guards in this league today. So I got to, you know, you want to salute Taj Gibson, and I salute him with you, but I got to continue to rave about Derrick Rose. What he's been doing is nothing short of phenomenal at this point of his career.
So all is forgiven for him for walking off the court on his first stint?
Yeah, I forgive him. I forgive him.
Okay, Dom, what's your thoughts, man? You know, as far as the Knicks getting, I thought you brought up good points. You got to get bodies back, man. I mean, we're going to need Burks. We're going to need Quickly.
You bring up a great point, Steve, because guess what? During that trip, the Knicks, who, like I said, have been inching up, they average about 107 points a game. They only got 107 or more in two of those six games without Burks. They've been barely hitting that 107 mark since Burks went out. Now, I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all, but he gives you something. And last night, for example, the Knicks scored what? 99 points? You was missing him and Quickly. If you're telling me that neither one of them are more than 4 or 5 points a night, especially, imagine this, guys, because we've seen this a lot this year. When Barrett was having those kind of games, here came Burks, here came Quickly. And Thibodeau said, you know what, you just don't have that night. But last night, there was really nobody to go to, and hence the reason Ntilikina, you know, the world came to an end because he scored 7 points, played good ball, don't get me wrong. But you lost by 2 points, and you was missing, I don't know what both of them are averaging, but I know they're averaging together, they're averaging more than 2 damn points a night. Now, again, no LeBron, and let's keep it real, guys. I've been following this nonsense since the signing. That was the best game Drummond had as a Laker. He has not lived up to the expectations the Lakers thought they were going to have when they got him. He hasn't. He had a great game last night, but again, he's playing against guys that should be damn near power forwards in the NBA, Nolan, Gibson. They gave it their best shot. Don't get me wrong, but again, here's a strange number, guys. The Knicks and the Bucks are both a +5. When you take their points for and points against, they're both a +5. Imagine that. The Bucks with all of the hype and all of that. And I said this earlier on, guys. When the Knicks were going on that little run, and I was like, man, you know, the Knicks, at one time, the Knicks only had 3 less wins than the Bucks. I mean, it's not like, all right, they got 6 more wins than them now. But again, guys, points for, points against, they're dead even at a +5. And I go back to what everybody harps on. Defense wins games. Defense wins championships. Well, guess what? The Knicks are a much better defensive team. The Bucks score a lot more points than the Knicks. But the Knicks give up a hell of a lot less points than the Bucks. So will it, I don't want to go that far, but will it be interesting, guys? I don't know. I can't forget that the Knicks blew the Bucks out by 30 points. So, hey, you know what? Toss it up, and let's see what happens. But I'll tell you this, guys. Imagine, can't put the genie back in the bottles, I always say. But imagine if the Knicks had Derrick Rose from the start of the season. And when it comes to forgiving Steve, I'm going to go back to what I said about the Timberwolves and Carl Anthony Towns. We were all 22 years old, 24 years old. We were all young and stupid. You know, Derrick Rose wasn't a child then. He was been in the league for a minute. But we all do bonehead shit, man. I got to put my normal hat on and remember the dumb shit I did when I was younger. Yes, you got to learn to forgive and forget, because what he's doing now, honestly, guys, do y'all think we'd be where we're at without him? You know, I ain't taking nothing away from Elfrid Payton. I'm not into that bashing him. He does what he does. He's a good defensive player. He gives you his all. But when you got a guy like Rose coming in for him, you kind of could fend that off. Because here's the funny thing, guys. Rose is playing more minutes. Like you always say, Steve, you don't care who starts. It's about who finishes. Rose is actually playing more minutes. He's playing more minutes than Payton, and he's doing better than Payton. But again, when you take that combination, especially nights like last night when Barrett couldn't hit nothing, he'd have been sitting next to Thibodeau. And Thibodeau would have rolled the dice. Like I always say, I've never seen him give a young kid this much leash, but he sure as hell gives it to Quickly. And on those nights that R.J. Barrett's throwing it off the side of the damn facade, his ass would have been sitting. Serious. And what was the chances of him going 2-for-13, 0-for-7 Quickly and Burks in the game, and the Knicks only scored 99 points? Now, I don't know, guys. I really don't. I don't think that would have happened. And that's why I give him the grade I give him, because, man, like I said, they held every team under their points per game except the Phoenix Suns. That's the one game I stopped watching, guys. I'll be quite honest. I almost stopped watching the Denver game when they laid an egg in the first quarter. I was like, this is embarrassing. 12 points in the first quarter. You know, this is embarrassing. You call yourselves a contender. But you know what, guys? Even after all of that, even after that fucked up, excuse my friends, that bad showing against Denver, at that point, the Knicks was like 12 out of 14. And people got upset. Oh, they got blown out. But you know what? Let's be honest, guys. They was playing a better team. And guys, I said this before, Steve. I didn't see Denver get too much of a hiccup when Murray went down. I'm just being honest. It's like Murray went down and Michael Porter Jr. became, you know, Connie Hawkins. He just elevated his game that much more. And now you got Gordon coming in. He'll give you 15, 16, plays good defense. I don't think they missed a beat, guys, to be honest. You think about that. And they still don't have the other guy back. Barton, whatever his name is. I don't even think he's back yet. And they're still the fourth seed, a game behind the Clippers for the third seed. And Murray ain't played in a minute, guys. Let's be honest. He's been out some time now. They had maybe one or two hiccups, but I watched them play the Hornets the other night. And Michael Porter, it was like he was a man playing against kids. Serious. I'm watching the game, and I'm like, man, the Hornets normally play pretty good. He had like 14 points in the first quarter. So I don't even want to get into the Knox thing. I'm not even thinking about that no more. In the back of my mind, I am. But I just keep watching this kid play, Steve. And he has really, really, really become the guy everybody thought he was going to be before he hurt his back. This is amazing what he's doing. I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, he's not a good defensive player. 95% of the players in the NBA ain't good defensive players. Knock it off with that shit. This kid's damn near averaging a double-double and missed the whole year of his career. Stop. He's like a boy. He's like a man. He's like playing against high school kids some nights. That's how fluid he is. And you know what, guys? I don't know if y'all watch the Nuggets a lot. But this kid could shoot. I mean, he ain't just that go-to-the-basket type guy. He's the type of guy I would pray that Obi Toppin could become near, close to, sort of, something of a Michael Porter Jr. I don't know. I'm not trying to be Nostradamus again with you guys. But I don't know, Steve. You watch a lot of NBA. I watch a lot of NBA. And I always tell you I glue in on the Nuggets a lot because they're my, like, team to watch. This kid is something special, man. Serious. He is really something special. Got their hands full, but I think, like I said, they might. Good chance they're going to go out with a bang, and it's going to be over. It might be over by tomorrow. It is going to be over by tomorrow. What am I saying? They're going to beat San Antonio. Oh, man, the Hawks went up by three with 13 seconds left.
An optimistic dog. I got to ask you a question. Hold on, guys. Come on. Yeah. I got to ask you a question about because this is – I do have a concern about Elfrid Payton. Granted, blessed to have Derrick Rose, great trade, very good trade. Nice to have him off the bench, his production. He looks good for his age as far as playing-wise. But I got to ask you, Ab, and this is a concern with Elfrid Payton. We could say he's a good defensive guard, but, I mean, you're averaging 15, 16 minutes a night for the last month, right? He hasn't had a really good game since maybe the last time we played the Lakers at home. Or if you want to count the New Orleans game, when we went on the road, we won that game. Remember, we had the two-game swing, New Orleans and Dallas. I say all this to say is, how can we get Elfrid Payton back going? I mean, we said he's had these inconsistencies all season. Like, he'll have a good game. And then, you know, some Knicks fans will say, hey, Elfrid Payton's back and all this other shit. And then he'll go on these average and he looks disengaged. That's the best way I can say it for Elfrid Payton. So the question is, what are we going to do with Elfrid Payton, man? I mean, I talk about all the time as far as, okay, yeah, I don't care who really starts, but I do care about rotation if we're going to be in the playoffs too, though. Like, yo, what? His production has been shit, in my opinion. Shit.
It has been.
Pure shit.
It definitely has been.
So here's the question. Is it going to be him or is it going to be Rose? Is Rose going to – are they going to keep things as the same? Because when you get into the playoffs, man, you can't – like, are we going to try to win? We're not here just to say, hey, the Knicks are back after 7 years not making the playoffs. No, no. I think Thibodeau's trying to win games and somebody's got to go. I mean, I can see a situation where Rose – the amount of minutes he's playing, he may end up starting, and then you may have to defer to the point guard, de facto point guard, with Burks and Quickly if they're healthy. What's your thoughts?
I think that pretty much what Thibodeau is going to do is just limit his minutes like he did last night. I mean, he only played 14 minutes and scored 2 points on 1-for-3 shooting. So you would think that that point guard by committee with, you know, with Quickly and Burks and Derrick Rose, you're just going to have to limit him to, you know, to under 10 minutes per game until he starts to show that he can, you know, that he can pick it up offensively. Defensively, he's okay. I mean, you know, you're not going to stop every point guard
minutes?
In the league, but sorry?
You said under 10 minutes?
I would say you have to hold them under 10 minutes and distribute. Well, just to get the game started. maybe run a couple, you know, kind of pick a couple of pick and roll options, or you need somebody to drop it to Randall in the post. But Frank Ntilikina played 23 minutes, scored 9 points, hit three out of four up from downtown, and. You know, that's not going to happen that often. But if Payton is not, you know, performing, you know, to what we need him to be, you're going to see a lot more of him on the bench, and you're going to see Quickly and Burks and Rose, and dare I say, you're going to see a little bit more of Frank Ntilikina. There's pretty much no other thing you can do. Obviously, Payton is going to be, you know, he's going to be, you know, gone by the end of the season. I don't see the Knicks, you know, wanting to pick him up, you know, for another go around, unless it's like a veteran minimum or something like that. But the reality is that his last five or six showings have been subpar, and the only way that I know that the Tom Thibodeau, you know, kind of treats, you know, these subpar performances is that he limits you, and you know, you kind of have to earn your keep a little bit. And Elfrid Payton, he's no different. He has to earn his minutes. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, to just being a getting about four boards and two assists and maybe a steal, you know, a night is not enough. We need you to be able to, you know, to penetrate. We need you to get into the paint. We need you to, you know, to get the ball moved around a lot more. And if your number is called, take that shot and be consistent with it. I don't know what else you can possibly do with an Elfrid Payton, especially if Toppin is starting to show a little bit more assertiveness, even though he only played 9 minutes, but he scored 5 points. He outscored Payton in half the time. That should just tell you something. The Knicks and Tom Thibodeau are just going to have to look at Elfrid Payton and say, well, if you can't do what we need you to do, then I'm going to find me somebody who can. And fortunately, you have an Emmanuel Quickly, who's a spark plug. You have an Alex Burke, who's a good knockdown shooter and a defender and can handle the rock. But that's pretty much cut and dry. You're going to have to limit his minutes. I don't say don't play him because you still want him to work.
Well,
his way out. Go ahead.
I got to say something. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I think we're going to need to find a way to get him going now that I'm finding out as we speak, or as you speak, that Reggie Bullock has an ankle injury. Alec Burks, we already knew. Quickly, we already knew. Now, Derrick Rose has an ankle injury. So, basically, Rose and Bullock, over the last hour, has been kind of been reported from Tom Thibodeau that they're questionable versus the Spurs. That changes everything. This is really
it. Definitely does. It definitely does. But then this should be the opportunity. Tomorrow night is perfect opportunity for Elfrid Payton to show you his worth and his value to this team. If you know that you're going to get a limited Derrick Rose and a limited Alex Burke, because I'm assuming that both he and Quickley will be back tomorrow, considering you know that you kind of need – you're going to have a all hands on deck kind of situation now. I would assume that tomorrow night, if Elfrid Payton does not show up, and by some chance we end up losing that game, then I don't see a reason why you should even start Elfrid Payton anymore. Give the starting job to Quickley or to Burks and just roll from there. And because we do need somebody to carry the scoring load. Hell, I'm okay with now giving Frank Ntilikina some minutes if it means that, you know, you're getting some kind of production. Even if it's just 5-6 points a night, at least it's production towards the, you know, the overall goal, which is to win the game. And if Elfrid Payton can't keep up, then we have to, you know, Thibodeau has to make the move. He has to, you know, have that talk with him and tell him, hey, boss, you're benched.
Let's go to Dom. Dom, I mean, the injuries are piling up for the Knicks. They're questionable, as in Rose and Reggie Bullock. Now, does that change your tune as far as winning out if those two are hurt now or questionable? Because, you know that means there's a big chance they may not play. What are your thoughts on that? And knowing that the Knicks need every game rest of the way just to, secure definitely a spot in the top six. But what's your thoughts?
The way the Knicks have been plugging and playing, I'm curious, guys, especially now, Steve, that you brought up all these injuries. When are the Knicks going to showcase this Luka Vendoza guy? You know, this young kid is supposed to have talent. He was the player of the championship in the ABC League in Europe. When are they going to showcase him? They signed him, and I'll be damned if right now it wouldn't be a good chance to see what this kid has. I mean, he's still 25 years old. He's still 25 years old. He's not like when we got Pope Pablo. He's 25 years old. And they say this kid got talent, and he can shoot. He didn't average a lot of points, but he still won the championship MVP. So he's in the class of Sabonis and those kind of guys. I mean, when are they going to showcase him? And, again, now that you mentioned half the damn team is hurt, you might want to pull this guy and dust off his boots and say, hey, kid, what do you got? You know, you got 3 games left. Why did you sign him? The thing, guys, and I just did the numbers. The thing with Payton and Rose, they're both – Rose is actually averaging 2 more minutes than him as a Knick. Now, remember, when you factor in Payton's minutes per game, it's all season with the Knicks. But there was a lot of games before the Knicks got Rose that he was playing a lot more minutes. But we already seen his numbers diminishing. So I don't take much stock in that no more, guys. To be honest, I wish the Knicks had a better point guard than Payton? Hell yeah. But I can't sit back and say, oh my God. And we're on the verge of, you know, clinching a 4, 5, 6 seed in the year that some of these pundits had us getting a lottery pick. So do you go to the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? I don't know. It seems to have been working. I mean, look at the Knicks' record since they got Rose. They have a hell of a winning percentage since they got Rose. So obviously what Thibodeau is doing, and I'm not defending Thibodeau this time, guys. I'm listening to everything y'all are saying, and y'all are making great points. They're doing is working. So if the Knicks... I was hoping the Celtics lost tonight, guys, to be honest, because then all of this would be a dead cause. And Nick could, with those guys you're saying are hurt, they could just rest them until the playoffs. You know you're in the playoffs. Where you're going to sit in the seed is going to be irrelevant. You're in the playoffs. Can we give Rose, can we give these guys, you know, 3 days off? Then you've got the goofy play-in game. So they're looking at a good – I think the actual playoffs might start the 21st or something like that. So you're looking at a good week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks, of giving these kids, giving these young guys a chance to heal, you know, unwind, and get ready to put your head down and go in the playoffs. So, okay, the Celtics might not lose tonight, whatever the case may be. You got to win one more game. Hopefully it's the first one. Then they could rest them two games. They'll get the rest during the play-in shit tournament, whatever that is. And they'll hopefully heal and come back the way we were. But the funny thing is, guys, we've been missing players all year, going back all the way to Mitchell Robinson. We lost Robinson. We lost Noel for a minute. We lost Alec Burke. We lost so many guys. And it seemed like the wheels never totally came off. We're still sitting well above 500. Like I said, we're a stone throw away from being in the playoffs for the first time. And what did you say, Steve? 8 years? So, hey, you know, get one more win in the event the Celtics don't win tonight. And I'm not going to say it's getting scary with everything you just said, Steve, but I'm just a little curious about this kid that Nick signed. You know, why did you get him? We saw we had a hole at point guard, right? We had a hole at point guard, and now if Steve brings up all this bad news, where are you, kid? I mean, I hate to throw you into a situation like this, but why the hell did you sign him?
Dom, I think, honestly, if you're really asking, you know, my actual opinion, I think the signing of Luka Vildoza is simply just so that we meet the salary cap minimum.
If we didn't meet the salary cap minimum for 69 of 72 games, I'm pretty sure they was willing to take that hit. I mean, you went 69 games without him.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's a huge penalty, you know, for not meeting the minimum salary, for the other team, and the salary has to be met by the end of the season. So right now, the Knicks are $2.5 million above the minimum, so they're good.
Okay, that being said, Av, not to cut you off. That means you're telling me there's nobody that you got on your G League team that you could have brought up. Give him a contract just to meet that need. You went all the way to Argentina to find a guy and say, well, come on, man, we need you to meet a salary cap restriction. Really? I mean, the kid got something. I mean,
no,
think
I,
about that.
I 100% fellas. Agree with you. I 100% agree with you, but this is just my theory on the whole thing. If you remember that, you know, they're only paying him guaranteed money in this season, and those remaining 2 years are, you know, not even partially guaranteed. They're just there. And, you know, if there's a lot of loose ends on it, but it's kind of like one of those situations where you draft an international player, but you kind of keep them on the, you kind of keep them there for a little while. And, you know, when it comes to the G League guys, there's different rules and restrictions that, you know, in order for you to bring up a G League player, and put him under a two-way or a partially guaranteed contract. So I think that's the reason why the Knicks went this route. Now, that's not to say that we won't see Luka Vildoza. I sure hope that we do, considering that we're having so many problems with Peyton right now. But I don't foresee him playing at a game this season.
That makes I'm not saying what you're saying don't make sense. That don't make sense to me. With the Knicks standpoint, because again, if that was the case, you had the G League, you had guys that were set free that you could have picked up, you know, there's guys that's not even in the league right now. You could have picked up maybe even a Shumpert, you know, you went all the way to Argentina to meet a salary cap restriction. I just find that really odd, guys. And you know what, guys, I did some research. I heard this kid was pretty good. Like I said, he won the ABC Championship MVP, you know, and he's 25 years old. You know, he's still a young player. I mean, somebody had to have their eyes on this guy if they went clear across the pond, skipped over the NBA, skipped over the G League, skipped over everybody that wasn't under contract to grab this kid. That would be strange, but hey, strange as shit has happened. I'm not saying it's not, but again, I heard this kid was pretty good. And think about this guy.
Knicks really did like him, Dom. I mean, I'm just going off what I saw reported from their own lips. The Knicks liked him. Now,
right.
Him, he is eligible to play this season. I don't know. Maybe they would. I don't know.
Let me ask you guys a question. We've been talking about a point guard for 10 years and the last 50 minutes. And ironically, the Knicks go all the way across the pond to find a what? A point guard. That's some strange-ass coincidence, fellas. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm reaching. But come on, man. Think about that for a minute. We've been talking about a point guard forever. You go all the way to Argentina. There wasn't near one point guard that's not on an NBA roster this year, that's not in the G League, that's not in the Big Three, that's nowhere on the planet Earth except Argentina, and we happen to find them. Really? I don't know, fellas. This kid better have something, or the Knicks are crazy. But I don't think so, guys.
Fair,
I think they had a plan.
I would be lying, Dom, if I said I saw him play before. I have not, but I did see the small clips online, and, you know, based off edited tape, I mean, he has a little bounce to his step, but I haven't seen full game, so I can't speak on it. So, I mean,
that's the same thing we've seen with Ntilikina. Remember, guys? People saw some YouTube clips of him. He was going to be the next Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier. But again, I'm just stuck, guys. Somebody got to talk me off this bridge that we went all the way to Argentina to find a damn point guard, and we need a point guard. Talk me off the ledge, Ab, please. I'm jumping. I'm getting ready to jump. It's weird.
I honestly don't know what to say because it's like it doesn't make sense. I was actually kind of excited because I have seen some international play of him. Maybe like a half, not exactly a full game or anything like that, but I've seen some, some unedited, game footage of him. He's got a wicked first step. He can shoot. He can handle the rock. So he's more of a combo guard than anything. So you can play the one and two at ease, with very little to transition. He can penetrate. He can split defenses if he wants to. I don't know about his shot making, but so far from the little that I see, he's a good pickup, and he's definitely NBA ready. But I don't know why at this stage of the season you would sign this kid not to bring him onto your roster right now. But Steve's right; he is eligible to play. But if you're asking me my personal opinion, I don't think that he is. I think this was just simply a situation of salary cap restrictions.
I got to bring up somebody, and we'll go around for final thoughts after this. But I got to ask you this, guys. Be harsh on it if you need to be or whatever. But I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all for point guard solutions. Okay, if Elfrid Payton is not giving you what we know, I know the Knicks – coaching staff, and they're there every day, practice through and through, how players relate and all that. I still don't understand, maybe because it's roster spots, but if guys are getting hurt and there's guys on the bench that are more than capable, I don't understand. And Dom, back me up if you need to, because I watch college basketball like you do. Why is Jared Harper, to me, is like, he's only in there for cleanup time, only when the Knicks are getting blown out or they're doing the blowing out. Jared Harper, I watched his college career at Auburn. I thought he was a solid, solid point guard for the Auburn Tigers. I thought he was gritty, scrappy, a decent shooter. He's just a better shooter than Peyton. Is right standing right on our bench. I know he's short, but I don't think that necessarily matters. Why not give him a chance to give him some minutes through these three games if we got all these injuries? If you guys could speak on it. If you have an opinion on it, I don't understand why he doesn't get any playing time. But got to understand, I'm not at practice. I don't see it. But I know Jared Harper's game, and he can play. I don't understand why he, for whatever reason, is not getting the minutes. What's up with that?
Steve, I'm going to have to answer your question with a question. Since you have seen him, does he fit the Thibodeau system? Does he play the Thibodeau style of game?
He can be an all up in your face point guard defensively. He's just a shorter guy. Peyton's more taller. Harper's maybe about 5'11", but he will guard you 94 feet. He would. He's got that chip on his shoulder. He's got a dog in him. So I would say, yeah. But it baffles me. Wow. Like, he's on the roster, but he's only in there when it's cleanup time. We're getting blown out or we're doing a blowing out or, you know, situations like that. He's a winner in the SEC. Like, he's a decent point guard. I just don't understand why certain guys in the league, when it comes to the league, and you know they did well in college, and then they're riding the pine hard in the NBA. It doesn't really make sense to me. So I don't know what's your thoughts on that, or Dom, you know?
The only thing I can say is, because you're right, Steve, he's always played hard. But here we go with that stigma again. You know, is it because he played 3 years in college? He put up good numbers in college. You know, he damn near shot. I mean, granted, it was college. But he damn near shot the average of an NBA player from three. He shot like 37% from three in college. And you're right, Steve. He does play tough. He does get in your face. Yeah, he's 5'10", 5'11". But again, we're talking about a position that we went all the way to Argentina for. And you got this guy sitting on the bench. And guess what? This Luka kid is only a couple of inches bigger than him. I think he's only 6'2". So it ain't like he's some 6'6", you know, point guard that got a wingspan of Frank Ntilikina. They're sort of similar players. But this kid played in a tough conference in college too, guys. Let's not skim over that. He played in a pretty damn good conference, and he left Auburn averaging 6 assists a night and 15.5 points per game, shooting 36-37% from three. And he's sitting there on the bench, and me, you, and Av, and everybody at Knickerbocker Heavens has been looking for a point guard. Throw the kid out there. You threw Quickly out there. We all knew Quickly wasn't a point guard. Those of us that watch college basketball, he was never a point guard. He was a Kobe White. Come on. Halliburton was probably the truest point guard coming out of college. We got lucky with Quickly. He's not a point guard, guys. If we're waiting for him to be a point guard, then Rod Strickland's coming through the locker room tomorrow. I don't know. But this kid was a point guard. Point guard for 3 years in Auburn, like you said, Steve, in the SEC. And he was tough as nails. He reminds me of that kid the Knicks drafted from Notre Dame. Remember the point guard from Notre Dame? Yeah, Jeremy Grant. He might have been a flash in the pan of the NBA, whatever, but they at least gave him a shot. Why is this kid still sitting on the damn bench?
It baffled me. I don't understand this.
Me either, Steve. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot all, Steve. I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot all about it. I forgot he was on the bench because he don't do all of that hyperactive Vincent stuff. You know, Vincent's like the greatest cheerleader since, you know.
ML Carr.
ML Carr. Yeah, I was getting ready to say ML Carr. But at least you see him. I don't even know what this kid looks like. I'd have to pull him up and see a picture of him. I don't even know what Harper looks like no more. But he had a good college career, Steve, but he played 3 years. Here we go with that stigma again. If you ain't a one and done, really?
Weird.
He put up better numbers in college than John Morant. But let's keep it 100. I like John Morant. Don't get me wrong. But he played in a tougher conference than John Morant, and he put up better numbers than John Morant. I mean, it is what it is, guys. I mean, I'm not comparing them as players right now. I'm just saying he played in a tougher conference than Morant, putting up those numbers. Really? Ah. You threw me for a loop with that one, Steve. You actually pissed me off before I went to bed because I forgot all about this kid.
I never heard nobody talk about it. No Knicks show, no Knicks podcast, no other national media, nothing. Like, I mean, because this is what I see. Don, give us the final thoughts. Give us your final thoughts, and then, of course, Av after that.
I'm ready, guys. By next week, we should know where we're at. And as we speak at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Celtics are losing by 7 points. So let's roll, guys. Let's roll. And as always, Steve, I thank you, brother. Let's keep up the good work.
We're going to ask Knicks fans on Twitter this, man, on Knickerbocker Avenue's Twitter as well. We'll ask them, man. Like, what's up with Harper? Why? I don't know. Av, do you know? And then final thoughts from you, and then we'll wrap up. And hopefully the Celtics do.
I wish I knew. I wish I did know, because I'm like Dom. It's like, if you showed me a picture of him, I wouldn't know who he was. So I'm doing a little bit more research on him, and I'm looking at some of his college highlights, and this kid is nice. So I'm like, what? Why is Thibodeau, you know, making him the 12th man? I don't know. I don't know whether it's because he just prefers Frank over him, and that obviously he's going to take quickly Burks and Rose and Payton over him, but he's got some explosive in him, and that might be something. I mean, I understand, taking a gamble with him right now at this stage of the season, considering that we're in a playoff push and, we're fighting for seeding. But I mean, tomorrow against San Antonio, granted, Rose is listed day to day, Bullock is still listed day to day, Burks is out, Quickly is out. But so with that being said, if you throw out Frank Ntilikina out there for 3 or 4 minutes, and you're seeing that he's back to being Frank Ntilikina that we all know and despise, why not give the kid a chance? Give him 6 minutes. See if he can run the offense just for that game alone. And in that game, he shows you something. Something probably more than he does at practice. Something more than he shows, during training camp, or something more that Thibodeau probably – the reason of why Thibodeau has written him off. Plug him in. Because you're not getting very much from Payton now. And if you're getting a limited Rose on one bad wheel, you're going to need point guards. And, if we're never going to see Vildoza, which I project that we won't, let's bring him out. I mean – we're still going to the playoffs, and if we go and if we end up with the sixth seed, that means we're playing the Bucks, and I think we can match up okay with them. I guess that's my final thought. Free Jared Harper. That's going to be my hashtag for the night. Free Jared Harper. Yeah. Give the kid a chance.
I just sent y'all a picture of him.
I'll give you a perfect example. He kind of reminds me of his game. A taller, not that he's, he's not, skyscraper or anything. Think of Muggsy Bogues. Remember Muggsy Bogues back in the day, like back in the 90s?
Yeah.
A pest. Remember, his game is, I'm just talking defense. You know how Muggsy used to be a pest and make opposing point guards really earn getting up the court? Think of that is a big deal even in today's NBA. I mean, he can still play disciplined defense 94 feet. And he's a better shooter than Payton. I know that. Payton's not a good shooter. He's better than Payton. Not to say Harper's a great shooter, but I know Harper can shoot better than him. We even seen preseason games. He come in, he's knocked down a couple of shots. I've seen it. So I just don't understand, even to this day, like, he was a better prospect. Well, call it for what it's worth with Ntilikina. I saw games with him playing for Bruce Pearl at Auburn. He's doing his thing. SEC championships and all this shit. I don't understand it. Yeah, we'll have to ask people, but we'll see what happens, man, with this Knicks injury situation climbing up, and get the conversation popping on Twitter, on Knickerbocker as IG and Twitter and all that. All right, guys, man, let's close out the rest of the season and see where we are with the seed, and then we'll come back next Wednesday and, tear it down and see how this thing goes, man. Maybe talk some playing games next week. All right?
Hashtag Soccer Down Soul. Hashtag become a stakeholder.
Yep. Orange and blue skies. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue. bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.